Okay.
Seder.
So the Gemara in Daf Dalad Amud Aleph. I think we began last week. Discusses the issue of Socher and Maskir. So let's. I sent out to Newmar Macomos, but I sent them quite late.
Yes, they got them.
Okay, great.
I put the link in the chat over here in this Zoom.
Okay, excellent. So sorry for sending so late, but...
Right, I explained because of the lateness of the hour, I couldn't send it out by email, but I made the conversion and I put it in the chat.
Okay, terrific. So the Gemara says as follows. Bo minei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. The question is as follows. Hamaskir bais l'chavero ba'arba asar. This is, again, you have it in the new Mar Makomos, but it's in the Gemara, of course. If a person rents out his property on Yudalid, on the 14th day of Nisan, which, of course, is the day, the night of which you're supposed to do Bedikas Chametz, and, of course, during the day at 12 o'clock, that's when there's an Isur Shehiya, right? And then at night, of course, Bal Yiroa. So this is a very sensitive time to be renting out, you know, your property or becoming a new tenant. Either way, the question is, Almi Livdok, who has the obligation of Bedikas Chametz in the property? And the Gemara, interestingly, we'll see this is a very big issue in a moment, but the Gemara itself sets up, you could say, the Chakira. But the way it sets it up isn't the way that all of the Mefarshim accepted it, because it's a little bit of a sticky or complicated question. So the question is, Almi Livdok? Al Maskir Livdok? Does the renter, mean the owner, does he have the obligation of Bedikas Chametz? The Chamira, Didehu. After all, it's his Chametz. He owns the Chametz. We could add, we're just not sure how relevant this is. He's the one, right, who is facing possible consequence of violating Bal Yiroa Bal Yimatzei, you would think. Let's see if this is true. The Pashtus, you know, the person you would think is violating Bal Yiroa is going to be the Maskir. And therefore, he should also be the one obligated for the Bedika. Odilma, or perhaps ala socher livdok. Maybe the renter is the one who is obligated to do the bedika. The surah birshusei koi. Since the isur is found in his property. So basically it comes down to this. When there's a clash, right, between the person who owns the chametz and the person who owns the property, which one of these is obligated? Or maybe another way to say it, and according to some Mefarshim like Rabbeinu David, this is true, who is more responsible? Rabbeinu David seems to assume that either one had, both of them have some responsibility, and the question is a question of who has supreme, you know, prior responsibility. But other Rishonim think that maybe it isn't the case. The question is, who exclusively has the obligation? Is it the maskir, the owner of the chametz, in other words, or is it the socher, the person who at least temporarily is in control of, seems to be, you know, the address for the property? This is not such a simple matter, as we'll soon see. But it sounds like the suffix is, does Bedikas Chametz depend on Bailus, on the ban, or does it depend on Rishus? So, for example, I think the suggestion was made last week. It's really a suggestion in the Rishonim and Achronim. You could have thought that this question just depends on a familiar debate that we encountered right in the beginning of the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, right? When the Mishnah said that they're bodkin you know, sachametz or lar basar or basal bodkin sachametz. So Rashi says that the bedikas chametz is for the sake of neutralizing bayira bayimatze. Tosa says, not really, because bedika is only dindra banan. And really, the purpose of bedika, says Tosas, is to prevent Shema Yochal. If you're in the property and there's chametz around on Pesach, you might forget and you might consume the chametz, you know, without thinking. So the Rashash, and the truth is, Rabbeinu Peretz says it almost explicitly. Tosas alludes to it. We'll see what Tosas does in a minute. You could have thought that that's what this argument is all about. Because according to Rashi, if the purpose of bedika is to neutralize bayira, who is standing to violate bayira? One would have thought, again, not everybody's going to agree, but the default assumption would be the owner of the chametz. So if it's the owner of the chametz who's risking bayira, and if bedika is l'shem bayira, then bedika should be the responsibility of that person, of the masker. According to Tosas, who argue that bedika is Shema Yochal, that on the surface devolves upon the person who lives in the property. He's the one who's living there. He's the one who's going to discover this juicy, you know, piece of chametz on Pesach itself and not be able to resist. Or just, you know, he's so intoxicated with the, you know, potential chametz that he forgets for a moment, you know, not where he is, but when he is. And therefore, you know, he eats what's in front of him. That person is the person who's living in the property. So it's interesting. We'll see in a moment. The problem with that is that, you know, it doesn't work so well. At least not completely. For example, according to Tosas, the maskana is not going to come out so well unless you say something more. Because Tosas thinks that the purpose of bedikas chametz is Shema Yochal. So it should be a no-brainer, at least l'maskana. Maybe they can have a discussion about it. But l'maskana, it should definitely be a din on the socher. Again, and for Rashi, the other opposite is true. If it's because of Bayra Bayimatze, and if it's true that that makes the maskir the candidate, so then it should be pashut that it's the maskir under all conditions and not the socher. And yet, as we'll see in a moment, the Gemara's conclusion is a complex one. The Gemara ends up saying, we'll read it inside in just a second, that it depends who is holding on to the keys when your dalad began. If it's the maskir, because the rental or the handing over the keys took place a little bit later on your dalad, then he's obligated. That conclusion seems to be problematic for Tosas, one would think. On the other hand, if it's, you know, if the masker hands over the keys, you know, right away, and therefore the socher should be obligated, that should be, one would think, we'll see, for Rashi it's not as big an issue, a problem according to Rashi. Unless you think either that there's no bayira at stake in this particular case, which is the case for Rashi, we'll see in a moment, or that it's not so simple that the owner of the chametz is the one who's going to violate bayira. But the Gemara does seem to say that, you know, that would be pashta. So we have a problem. There's a problem to understand what is the issue in this Gemara. Okay, let's go back. It gets a little bit worse before it gets a little better. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Hamasker bayis l'chaveiro, ala socher lasos lo mezuzah. The question of a turnover in the property, a rental property, is obviously not something that is limited to bedikas chametz, right? It can, you know, affect any number of halachos. So we have a parallel question regarding a mezuzah. Who is responsible for putting a mezuzah on the door, the maskir or the socher. So sugya in Menachos says that the sugya says that a maskir buys the chavero, a socher lasses the mezuzah. So that would seem to imply that in the competition between socher and maskir, the socher is the main owner. The problem with that is simple. How did our Gemara frame the problem, the question? The bailim over the ba'an, or, you know, the master over the property? But where is the other side when it comes to mezuzah? What did the Gemara even think about in the Hava Mina to learn from mezuzah? In mezuzah, there's no equivalent of chamira didei. All there is the question of chovas hadar or chovas habayis. So it's just very strange that the Gemara would initially think that they could bring a proof from mezuzah where there's only one side of the chakira to an issue which is far more complicated. Unless we conclude that the factor of chamira didei has to be, you know, looked at, you know, in a revised way. Maybe it isn't a straight out clash between who owns the place and who owns the chametz. Maybe
Rav, why can't it be just comparing that there is a transition, just like in a mezuzah, before the socher came into being, the maskir had the chiyuv to put in the mezuzah because he lived in the house. So right. And then now there's a transition when the socher comes in, he has it.
That's true.
Just like Flamis, where he initially had the chiyuv, but now comes the socher, and now he has the chiyuv.
Right. That addresses 60% of the problem, but it leaves out 40% of the problem. Because remember, the Gemara's chakira was chamira didei, right, versus rishus didei. What we're saying is, in the case of mezuzah, it's a clash within rishus. So when you have a clash within rishus, you can bring a raya that the socher overrides the maskir. But the problem is that when it comes to bedikas chametz, the Gemara introduced a tzad hasheni to the chakira, and that is being the owner of the chametz. Where is the parallel? If you don't have a parallel to the owner of the chametz in the mezuzah case, then by definition, it's not a good proof. I can't prove a question which has two sides, a conflict. I can't prove it from something where there's only one side, and the question is, well, let me say it this way. There really seem to be two questions. No one will deny on surface. We'll see everything gets, you know, re-examined. But on the surface, when you first read the Gemara, we all agree that the owner of the chametz is the maskir, right? Meaning, when the Gemara says chamira didei about the maskir, that description appears to be pasha. The only question is, does it matter? Does the obligation to do bedika depend on whether you're the owner of the be'en? But that the maskir is the owner of the be'en seems default pasha. When it comes to mezuzah, When it comes to the second question, namely, whose home is it? Who's in charge of the venue? Is it so pasha that it's the socher? We'll see in a moment some evidence. Not at all. Why? Because that's a question for every single legal system to debate or to discuss. And the halacha is certainly no exception. If anything, the halacha is going to discuss it with greater sophistication. A, because it's a more sophisticated system. B, because the halacha applies to so many different, you know, types of parallels. So if I ask you, I just, you know, ask you, whose reshus is the chametz in? The socher's or the maskir's? Of course it's complicated, because when you're talking about renting, the maskir used to be the owner, in the future will be the owner. When it comes to the guf hadavar, he's still the owner. The socher lives in the property. Now, the legal question is going to be, how do we look at the socher's rights? Right? On the minimalist level, you could say, you know what? The socher, you know, has tashmishim in the property. He has the right to use it in a certain way. What he's koneh through his schirus, or what he's zochet through his schirus, are tashmishim, kinyanei tashmishim. He has peros, you can call it, if that makes you feel better, or tashmishim. Or no, maybe temporarily, he is the owner. Right now, for the rental period, that's what's known as, we'll see in a moment. You know, I'll introduce the Gemaras right now, or at least two of them. That's what's called as, you know, schirus mechira liyomeyu, or mechira lizman kotzuvu. Right? During the period of the rental, he's the owner. Or maybe it's more complicated than that. Maybe both of these things are true. Maybe with regard to things that have to do with the past and the future, or with the, you know, intrinsic ownership of the property, the masker is the real owner. And things having to do with temporary ownership, not only does he have tashmishim, he has kinyanim, right? But it's limited to those things. Anything having to do, you know, with the future, with the past, and with the, you know, anything that affects those two things in the present belongs to the maskir. So when the Gemara says, we'll start from, you know, just take a step back for a moment. When the Gemara says that, you know, the maskir's yichus is at chamira d'day, that's very reasonable. But when the Gemara says that the socher's yichus, how does it go? How does the language of the Gemara go? That the isurei bershusei kai, that's also pasha. Not at all. I'll illustrate this more just in a second. But let me say now, going back to my previous question. So then the next line of the Gemara is the following. Gemara says, let's bring a raya from mezuzah to bedikas chametz. Right? But there's no chamira d'day equivalent in mezuzah. In mezuzah, the whole question initially seems to revolve around who is the real responsible owner of the property, right? But it's not, you don't, the ownership of the mezuzah is not important. You have to put a mezuzah on your property. So what's missing is 50% of the chakira. If the original chakira was, and I'm going to try to suggest that maybe it is, but I'll explain why in a minute. If the original chakira was or is, who, right, is the proper address for this property in this period? And that should be koveya b'dikas chametz l'kula alma. If that was a safek, and given the fact that there's also typically a transition, meaning on one part of the day it belongs to the maskir, now it's going over to the socher. So then the equation between bedikas chametz and mezuzah is a very good one, because in both cases you have transition. In both cases you have, seemingly, you're wondering who is the predominant owner of the property, right, in the present. And then bring a ride from one to the other is terrific. By the way, even then, the maskana is that it's not a good raya. Why not? So the Gemara says, Hasam ha'amar av misharshia mezuzah chavas hadarhu di hacha mai. Meaning, what the Gemara says is, no, it's a bad proof. Who told you that the owner of the property or the predominant force, would say, in the property is the one who has the obligation of mezuzah? That was the Havamina. And therefore the Gemara thought it was a good raya. I'm saying it isn't even a good raya unless you reassess certain things. Because it's all about the owner of the property. But the maskana of the Gemara is, it's not a good raya for another reason. And that is that mezuzah is not about the owner of the property. It's about who lives in the property. It's a chovas hadar. No matter what you say about the relationship between socher and maskir in the property, there's no question whatsoever that anything that depends on the dar, meaning the person who's living in the property, that right now that's the socher. That's not the maskir. So that's why the Gemara says, not a good proof. My question is, before that, when they thought it was a din chovas habayis, we'll call it, they thought it was a good proof. If the question was internal, who has a chovas habayis, a masker, a socher, when there's a transition, great. But what happened to Chamira Didei? Chamira Didei seems to be saying the question is not chovas habayis, masker, socher. The question is chovas habayis, which means socher, or bailim on the Be'en Shel Chametz, which means maskir. How do you prove that from mezuzah? Okay, just to highlight still a little bit further for a moment that the issue of schiras.
When somebody rents a house,
yeah,
blanket, he doesn't put, you can have the furniture, you can have the oven, the stove. Yeah. He says he's maskir the entire house. So it would imply that he's masker the chamir didei also. It's part of the package deal, and therefore, if
you really think that's true,
I would. If you don't exclude anything from the period of schiru,
I mean, we're talking about, you know, the furnishings. You know, the appliances.
If you don't put an exclusion in, then it's probably your.
But Chametz Didei?
Everything. Yeah, everything.
And Chametz Didei and right before Pesach?
Yes, he can eat it right before Pesach.
Okay, so we'll get to the Me'iri, and some of the Achronim, Magen Avraham. You're sort of in good company, but not exactly for your explanation, but as a set, not because of Schirus, but because of an implicit Kinyan Chatzar, maybe, but. It's very, I think it's very bedochak. There is
Does
a sugya in
Bamitzina,
but Mitzina of Kufalif. What are you saying, Ari?
Would it maybe have anything to do with Zachem Ladam Shel Bafanav or Chavin Ladam? You know, would we say that plays in?
100%. Kinnan Chatzer, Zachem Ladam, things like the Hefker. You know, they have different mechanisms. We're going to see all of it. But just an answer to your bigger question, there is a very important sugya in Bamitzina and Daf Kuf Aleph, if memory serves me, where the Mishnah, the Gemara, has a whole discussion, you know, what is included in Schiros. You know, an Umnus, Mais Uman, meaning it's a very, just as I say, in any legal system, you know, the status of, you know, borrowing and the status of renting or leasing, you know, is always going to be, you know, a complicated question.
Rav, there's one issue that can't be overlooked, that the renter never acquires title.
Correct. That's what I meant about.
What happens? He never acquires title, which by definition is the ability to transfer ownership of the property to a third party.
Right. I mean, of course, you can't necessarily do that depending on the contract or your understanding of schiros during the period of schiros itself.
Right.
But what you're saying is what I was, you know, referring to before when I said the past owner is the maskir. The future owner is the maskir. He hasn't handed over title.
Exactly.
So, and the gufa davar is his.
Yes.
The only question is, you know, well, let's say this way. The real owner is the maskir. The real...
He remains that throughout the whole period.
Yeah. The real dar, meaning Dalad Reish,
right,
the resident, we'll call him, is the socher.
Right.
Anything in between those two things in any legal system is up for grabs. Meaning, so I'll just give you two gemaras very quickly. Three gemaras, but look at the Mar Makomos for a minute. Look at the Gemara in Bav Metzia, Nun Vav Amud Beis. This is on page 2. Okay. What's the number? Did you get a chance that you numbered already?
19.
So you're fast.
Okay. Very good. Look at that.
19. Excellent. Thank you again. We don't take you for granted.
Thank you.
Okay. Boy Rab Zera. Schirus, Yeshlo Ona, Einlo Ona. We know there's a principle in halacha called Ona'a. You're not allowed to overcharge. Right? You know, in some cultures, in some, you know, economies, you know, it's a free economy. And there's no limits. Okay? Even most entrepreneurial, you know, capitalistic societies have some, you know, protections. You know, that's an interesting question, right? So, ona means you're not allowed to overcharge, you know, more than a sixth. The question is this: when you rent property, do you have that protection or not? Is there a din of ona, an isur of ona, and a consequence of ona in terms of chazara? That's a suffix in the Gemara. But the way the Gemara formulates the suffix is fascinating. Boy Rab Zera, Schirus Eishla Ono Eino Ono, Memkar Omer Achmano, Avalo Schirus. Torah uses the expression when it talks about Ono, calls it, speaks about Memkar. That's a sale, right? A sale is absolute. Odil Maloshna, or maybe, even though the Torah says memkar, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it applies to schirus too. Why would it apply to schirus too? Because the transaction is a transaction and they should all be protected? So the Gemara is fascinating. It says, Amar le'Abaya, miksiv memkar olam. It doesn't say memkar olam. Meaning, Abaya was saying the following. Another possibility here, like, because the Gemara originally seems to be saying, if you need memkar, right, then schirus is excluded. But maybe memkar is just an example of a transaction. Abaya says, no. You're totally right about memkar being a prerequisite for ona. But who said memkar ola? Who said an absolute and a permanent sale? Memkar stamaksiv, v'hainami biyomei mechirahi. Meaning the category really is mechira. But there are two types of mechers. There's memkar olam, a permanent sale, right? An unqualified sale, unqualified by time. And then there's mechira liyomei, l'shaite. But it's a mecher. During that period, it's a mecher, and therefore there's ona. So if you look at Tosis, might as well do this right now. Tosis says, V'hai b'yomei mechirahi, tema, the perakama davar zara, muchach t'schiras lo kani, Yisrael Shesachar Para, I'll read it in the Gemara in a moment. Mi Kohen, Umilo Lebez Dira Amru. There are several Gemaras in Avodah Zarah that seem to imply that Tzchiros is not considered a Kinyan Liyome. So there's a stira between the Gemara and Bar Metzia and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Says Tosis, Yesh Lomar, Dohach Gabi Onok, Siv Memkar Miyutar, Lerabos Chiros. Since it says Memkar and it's superfluous, or there's an additional one, so that's Marbes Chiros, but it isn't really a Mechira, Liyome. In other words, Tosis is saying that the Gemara in Bab Metzia is Lav Dafka. We should reread Bab Metzia in light of Avodah Zarah. Look for a minute at Avodah Zarah. That's the next Gemara. Very interesting Shaka Vatarya. The Gemara says, Komokom ein bochrim behema gasa. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah speaks about whether you can sell an animal, behema gasa, big animal, to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't do it. Why not? My taima. The Gemara says, Nei de la revia lo chayshinan, mavid be malacha chayshinan. Okay, you're worried about the non-Jew doing malacha with this heavy animal on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ben Yavid, what's the problem? Given the Zavne, Kanye. If you sell a behemah gasa to a non-Jew, why do we care about what he does with it on Shabbos? It belongs to him. There's no din of shvisas behemto shogai. So the Gemara says, "Gzeirim b'shem she'elo b'shem schiros." We're worried about people will say, "If you can sell it and there's no problem, then even if you rent it or you lend it, then it's also not a problem." And then the non-Jew will work the animal on Shabbos, and that would be a problem of shvisas mehemto. What's the implication? That She'ela and Schiros are not a Kenyan, at least not vis-a-vis, right, neutralizing the din of Shvisas Behemto. Says the Gemara, She'ela Kanya, the Agra Kanya. What do you mean you can't sell it because people will make the mistake and they'll think you can be Mashal and Maskir? Let him be Mashal and Maskir too. After all, She'ela, bigger Chiddush, and Schiros, less of a Chiddush, but still a Chiddush, are Kenyanim. Elo Marami, Bered Rab Yeba, Zera Mishum Nisyoni. The problem is a problem of Nisyoni. What's Nisyoni? The Zimnin de Zavdele Nehele Samach Lishkiya Sakama, the Mali Shabbata. Sometimes the sale is going to take place, you know, close to Shabbos, close to Shkia. The Amalei will say to him, Ta Nasya Neheli. Like, show me that the animal, you know, is working shape. Right? Veshamalei Lekale. And he'll listen to the voice, the animal will listen to the voice of the owner. But Ozla Machmase Vinichale the Tezel. And he'll move, right? And that will be something that will be desirable to the Jewish owner. Then we're going to all this in detail, but it's a very important Gemara for Mechamer. Have a Mechamer Acher Behemta B'Shabbos. A Mechamer Acher Behemta B'Shabbos. Chayiv Chatos. Okay, there's something called Shvisas Behema. There's something else called Mechamer Acher Behemta. Mechamer Acher Behemta means when you inspire the animal to do a malacha. So if you inspire the animal to do a malacha, that's a problem. So the Gemara basically is saying, you're right, she'ela and schiros per se, once the she'ela and schiros are completed, just like if the mechira is completed, there's no Shabbos problem, because mechira, she'ela, schiros, they're all real kinyanim. Right now the animal, with regard to this halacha, belongs to the non-Jew, and therefore there's no problem. The problem is that sometimes the last minute pre-Shabbos sale is going to end up with Chilul Shabbos through Mechaber. Good? Okay. Maskeflor of Shesha Pirei Dravidi Uschiris Mikanya. The Gemara is going back and forth on this question. Is Schiris really a Kenyan? Such that the only problem is Nisyoni? Hatanan. We have another Makar. Af b'makom shomer lahaskir, right? Lo lebeis dira amru. Even when you're, you know, when it talks about renting, you know, property to a non-Jew, you shouldn't rent them for beis dira. Shemachas atokov is kochavim, because they'll bring their idols or their avodah zarah into, you know, the house, and even though they're renting it, it still belongs to the maskir. And that will be a problem of Losavi Soeva, right? El Besecha. Viso Gedaitech Schiris Kanya, Haiki Koma Ayel, the Bese Koma Ayel. Why do we care? If Schiris is a real Kenyan for the Socher, so now it belongs to, temporarily, the house belongs to the non Jew. So what do we care if he brings his idol inside? Says the Gemara, Shaini avaris kochavim dechamira, dechsiv lo savi toev al beisecha. Maybe it's a special chumra about avodah zarah, that you can't be even connected with avodah zarah, even though technically, right now, the predominant owner is the non-Jew, right? But it's still long-term, was your house, will be your house again. You're still connected and associated with it. So maybe the chumra of avodah zarah is an exception, but in Achanami, Schiris is a Kenyan. Says the Gemara, that isn't so simple either. Maskeflar b'yitzok b'reidra misharshia, with Schiris mikanya? Right, so far they're still continuing to hold on to this view that Schiris is a Kenyan. The Gemara says, no, we have another problem. Hotnan, Yisrael shasachar para mikoein, Yisrael rents an animal from a Kohen. Now, there's two Jews now, right? An intra-Jewish schiros. I rent my neighbor, the Kohen, Mr. Cohen's, Mr. Katz, you know, para. Okay? The question is, can I feed that animal karshine truma? Okay? Yachilen, so the halacha is Yachilen or Karshine Truma. The coin Shesachar Parmi Yisrael, Avavishen Mizonoseha Olav, he's responsible for feeding the animal. Mr. Katz, you know, is the one who's renting from Mr. Yisrael. Lo Yachilen or Karshine Truma. Viso Gedaitach Schiris Kanya, my lo Yachilen. A Truma, a coin can feed an animal, karshine truma. A Yisrael cannot. So this seems to indicate that the socher is not the real owner, because a socher kohen cannot, and a socher Yisrael from a kohen can. So what's going on? Says the Gemara, Shema minah schiris lakanya. V'hashad amr schiris lakanya. Gzerim shim schiris, ugzerim shim she'ela, ugzerim shim nisyoni. And once we hold that schiris is not kona, so then another reason why you can't sell, you know, this behema gasa, and you worry about the problem of tfisa, the Shabbos, is because gzerim shim, not only nisyoni, the last minute sale, and the Mechamer, but you're even worried about She'ela and Schiros. What's a simple reading of the Gemara? The Gemara is going back and forth, right? Gemara is talking about feeding, you know, an animal truma. Gemara is talking about Lo Savi Soeva B'Tof Pesecha, the problem of Shvisa, you know, of Behema B'Shabbos. The Gemara is going back and forth between the view of Schiris is being a Kenyan. Schiris is not a Kenyan. What's the Maskana? Sounds like in the Maskana that Zechiris is not a Kenyan. That's against the Gemara and Bava Metzia. That's where Tosis came up with their view that Avodah Zarah and Bava Metzia argue, Avodah Zarah and Bava Metzia seem at odds. In light of Avodah Zarah, we should see Bava Metzia as an exception. That's what Tosis says in Avodah Zarah too. If you look at Tosis here, Hashad Amr Schirus Lokanya, this is already aware, but page 3, right? Okay. Hashad Amr Schirus Lokanya.
Line 2.
Hachamaskina the Schirus Lokanya. The kasha, the perikazav, masik the schirus yesh lo na, midasivchem temkaru, memkar labisakav loksiv ki temkaru, memkar liolam, alma, memkar karinavle. So Tosa says the same thing. Yeshomer demai the memkar karinavle fisha, haynu dafka legabi ona the siv memkar miutar, miubishar makomos harmin and schirus udelokan. So this is the view of Tosis. There's all over Shas, we have these issues. We have another one right here. I'm going to hold off on this one detail for a moment. Just look for a minute on Dav Vav Amud Aleph. Right? Gemara Dav Vav Amud Aleph. I don't want to go into details now. I'll leave that for next week, because it's a little more important for what we're doing directly, not just background. But the Gemara says the following. See at the two dots on Vav Amud Aleph, about a quarter of the way down the page? Tan Rabbanan, Nachri Shenichnas L'Chatzer Rosh Yisrael. A non-Jew walks into Jewish property on Pesach, Ubetzeko Biyado. Right? His munchy, chametz in his hand. So the din is Ein Zakuk Levayer. It doesn't belong to the Jew. It belongs to the non-Jew. Even though it's physically in his possession. Right? Nonetheless, since it's the ownership of the non-Jew, there's no reason for beer. If Gido Etzlo, on the other hand, right, Rashi says, the kibel alea achrayas, not so simple, Tosfos agrees, kibel alea achrayas, zakuk levayer. Meaning, if the non-Jew makes the Jew into a nifkad, a shomer, so that the Jew has achrayas, he has responsibility for the chametz of the non-Jew, then it's his responsibility to get rid of it. Yichad lo bayis, look at Rashi, klomar, lo kiblo alav. That's the controversy with Tosis. There's no Kabbalah Zachrayas. Ela omerle, hare abayis lefanecha, hanach, bi'achas min azavios. Rashi says, ein zaka klavar. Let's say the non-Jew comes into the Jewish home. Jew doesn't take responsibility for the chametz. That was the previous case. But he says to the non-Jew, I hereby and miyached makom, right, for you, almost like schirus makom, practically, right, yichad labayis, hari abayis lefanecha, hanach ba'achas min azavios, that too ein zakuk levar. Shenemar, lo yimatze. So the question is, when it says lo yimatze, is that going on the iser, on the part where he's mekabel achrayus and he's zakuk levayer? Or is lo yimatze the reason why, if he's not, even though he's miyached bias, there's no problem? Okay, that's the question. So the Gemara says, my kamar. Omra papa resha koi. Haki kamar. If gidu etzol zakuk levayer, shenemar lo yimatze. Once he is responsible for the fate of that object, of that chametz, so that's the violation of lo yimatze. Ravashi Amar, Liolam Asefa Kai, Vachi Kamar. Yichud Labayis Ein Zokuk Levayer. If he says to him, you know, you could, I hereby allow you to use my home to keep the chametz, right? He's not responsible for beer chametz. Shenemar lo yimatzei bevatechem, v'ha lav didehu. The nachri ki kama'ayel lebesi denafshe kama'ayel. It's like, it's almost as if when I say to him, you know, my pantry is yours for Pesach. Okay, so it's like schiras makom or she'elas makom, and it's in my house, right? The answer is it's like I'm extending the property of the non-Jew. He's the owner, so he has chametz in his own house. That's what it means. Ki kama ayel abesa denafshe kama ayel. Says the Gemara, lememra the schiras. Tanya, are you saying that if I masker makom to a non-Jew, the reason there's no bai rabbi matze and no chiyuv biur is because he becomes the owner, the non-Jew? There's kinyan tzchiras? But Tanan, what about the sugya and about Azara that says, af b'makom shorma lahasker lo lebez diramnu shemachnis l'tocha avad Azara? Remember what we just read in Avodah Zarah. Namely, sounds like from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that Tzchirus is not Kona. Biso kadaitach the Tzchirus Kanya ki kamayel abeise denafshe kamayel. Says the Gemara, Shaini hacha ta'af grachmona b'loshan lo yimatze. Mishir botzu biyadecha yotzezeh she'enam otzu biyadecha. Very unclear conclusion. Once again, the Gemara is discussing whether Schirus is a Kenyan. Here it's discussing it with regard to Chametz. Here the conclusion is that Lo Yimatze establishes that if he has reign over the property, it's not considered Matsui Birshuscha. Is that another way of saying, and this is how some Rishonim understood it, that Legabe Bayiro Bayimatze Schirus is Kanya? Or is it another way of saying that even though Schirus is not Kanya, it's still not, it's, whatever it is, it's still enough that there's no Bayir HaBayimatze. Hard to know. So basically, we have three Gemaras that I'm just showing you. There are more. Right? The Gemara Bambitzi implies that Tzchirus is Mechira Liyomei. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, seems to conclude that Tzchirus is not a Kenyan. And the Gemara in Psachim on Vav Amud Aleph, on the one hand, says Tzchirus is not a Kenyan. On the other hand, Regabe Chametz is an exception. Lo Yimatzei does something. We're not sure. Rishonim understood it different. So on the one hand, you have the Bali Tosas, who in a bunch of places, we just read two of them, Avodah Zarah, Bamatzia, say, even in Ona, it's not really a Kenya. But look at the language of the Rambam. Rambam in Hilchos Mechira Perik Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Zayin. That's somewhere on page 3. What number?
9 and 10.
The Rambam says, Hasokhar Sakelim, Oosa Behema, when you do Schirus, Yesh Lahem Ona. There is Ona, you're not allowed to overprice. But look at the reason that he gives. He doesn't say because, you know, Mechira miuteres amarachmana. Ram says, Shaschirus Mechira bas yomehi. And then he goes on. Im yesh hona shtus uyoser bein shenisan asokra bein shenisan amaskir on either side or is a machzer hona filo l'achar zman meruba. The Rambam embraces the idea that Tzchirus is kinyan liyomei. Hey, what does he do with the Gemara's about Shabbos? And okay, that's a problem. But you should know that the Rambam embraces this idea. Why did I put this twice? Oh. Okay, the second one is supposed to be Hilchos Tzchirus Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. For some reason, just give me 1 second. I'll read it to you. Some reason I copied the same thing twice. Perek Zayin Halacha. Kishem Shemasna Adam Koltnai Sheyirtze. Just as a person can impose any condition he wants in a monetary permanent transaction, kach masne b'schirus. He can do the same thing in schirus. Shaschirus mechira lizman kotzavi. The Rambam could have said that you can impose conditions on a schirus transaction just as you can on a mechira transaction, without adding the words shamechira. I'm sorry, shaschirus mechira lizman kotzavi. It stands to reason any freely, agreed upon transaction where there's an owner, there's a recipient. There's somebody who's transacting. It stands to reason that, you can impose conditions. Why not? Why would Schiris be any different than Mechira? But that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam builds this conclusion on what seems to be a superfluous, controversial formulation. If it was a superfluous mela, the whole point is it's also controversial. So its superfluity is even more significant because of its controversy. This is the Rambam's way of saying, I really believe strongly that Tzchirus is Mechira Lizman Katzav. Even though I don't need it here, and then look how he continues. B'choshe memkaro b'nechasav memkar tzchiruso tzchira. Koshe ein lo limkar, kach ein lo liskar. Elim kein yesh peros bovad ba'osa karka, reza socher v'ena mocher. Meaning, the Rambam goes out of his way unnecessarily, right, to emphasize the affinity between Schiros and Mechira. And this phrase, of Schiros being Mechira Lizman Katzav or Liyome is a phrase which appears in the Rambam's works, in Hilchos She'ela, in another place in Perek Chav Gimel of Hilchos Mechira, a bunch of places. So, if you look also at the Nemukei Yosef and Bava Metzia, some of the Rishonim and Avodah Zarah, it's clear. I mean, you have conflicting evidence. The Gemara in Bava Metzia sounds like it's endorsing Schiros as a kind of Mechira, Lizman. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah goes back and forth and seems to conclude that that's not true. The Gemara here in Psachim seems to say mostly it's not true, but there's an important exception. We need to understand it better of Lo Yimatzei. So which is it? What's going on? How do we understand all this? But especially in light of what we started with, right? Which is, the Gemara thinks it's Davar Pashut when it comes to the question of Bedikas Chametz, right? Hamaskir Bayis L'Chaver B'Yom Yadalet, Al Mi Livdok, So the Gemara says, "Ala maskir de chamira diday," right? Or "Ala socher," right? "De birshu sehi." Why is it so pashut that the socher is birshu sehi? I mean, the Bali Tosas think that even in Bab Mitzia and Vav, they don't really mean it. So what is going on? Or is it a Didin Lo Yimatzei? Lo Yimatzei says that Tzchirus is generally not, but in Chametz it is? The Gemara in Vav Mud Aleph? It's very hard to understand what's going on. So why is it Pasha to the Gemara that if it depends on the Rishus, that the Socher is Koveya? And why does the Gemara think it can bring a proof, right, from Mezuzah, which is all an internal question? Before the Gemara said Chovas Hador, the whole question revolved around who is responsible for Chovas Habayis? The Maskir, the old and future and titular owner, or the socher, the pragmatic, functional, present owner? What does that have to do with Bedikas comments, where the question is chamira didei versus reshusei? There, it's all a question of reshusei, no? That's the question. So I think that one could say the following. I think you could revise your understanding of the Gemara. And I think this is true for a bunch of the Rishonim. Maybe the Gemara knew from the outset that the real issue is who, right, is the master in the present of this property when it comes to these Zinim. But the Gemara also knew that is a complicated question. It's not a simple black and white. It's either the maskir or the socher. Because as we've explained, the reason for the complexity and the argument is because there's mixed evidence. The maskir was, the maskir will be, and the maskir is the title holder. On the other hand, the functional day-to-day owner, the person who's, making decisions in that house right now, is the socher. So it's fascinating. The Gemara later on above the Gemara above Mitzia Daf Kuf Aleph, Mishnah, Gemara, I won't go into details, discusses, controversies between the masker and the socher. Maisa Uman, like if you have to fix things or things break, or like whose responsibility is that? It's an old question, right? The landlord and the tenant. Once you're a homeowner, you forget about all that. But, that's a big, big issue. So the way some Rishonim understand the Gemara is it's a question of umdana. Like, what do they likely have in mind to begin with? Rabbeinu Yonasan, Rabbeinu Yonasan HaKohen Miluneel, one of the Chachmei Provence, has just, it's like what, two lines. It opens up the whole sugya, and in my opinion, it opens up our sugya as well. He says the following. He says some of these issues are not umdana. He doesn't say this. Implicit. They're not umdana questions. There are questions. Who is the owner of the property vis-a-vis different types of questions? The more we're dealing with an issue in a home that is part of the actual structure of the home, and here's where I kind of alluded to what your question before about the chametz and what you buy and what's included in what you buy, right? The more you relate to the permanent structure of the home, even if the issue revolves around the temporary disposition of your obligation, who has to fix it, who has to pay for it, who gets to choose you know, how it's, you know, going to be treated in the present. The more that it relates to the long-term permanent structure of the home, the more the maskir is the address, even now, for the Chovos HaBayis. And the more that it has to do with the functionality of actually living in the property, the door, but not a din in the door. It's the door, meaning the resident, as the bailim vis-a-vis present and functionality and tashmishin. That's kind of what Rabbeinu Yonason is getting at. And this opened to me, you know, it kind of opened up the topic. So what I think is another way to read the Gemara here. And that would work much better with the Shakla Matari of the Gemara as well. And that is as follows. The Masker and Socher are both candidates. I'm going to show you this anyway in a minute. The Masker and Socher are both candidates for being the Baal HaRishus. The question is, who is the Baal HaRishus with regard to Bedikas Chametz? And especially if we look at Bedikas Chametz as a Chovos HaBayis, something of that sort, something we spoke about last week. So who does that really devolve upon? So when the Gemara says, Al HaMaskir Livdok, or Al HaSocher Livdok, Al HaMaskir Livdok, the Chamir Didehu, Al HaSocher Livdok, right, the Rishusa Didehu. They don't mean Bailus on the Be'en versus Rishus. They mean present Rishus, functional Rishus, or Rishus vis-a-vis what happens with the Be'en, namely Bedikas Chametz. In which case, we can now understand the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara said, well, maybe we can bring a raya from the status of Masker and Socher when it comes to Mezuzah. Namely, before the answer of the Gemara that Mezuzah is Chovos Hador, the Gemara was saying, Mezuzah is Chovos HaBayis. Who's Chovos HaBayis? There are two Balabayises, or two Balabatim. One is the Masker, the other is the Socher. And now, what Dr. Maybrook said before becomes very relevant, but you have to add this point, I think, and that is that in addition to the clash between Masker and Socher, there's another element, and Tosus picks up on this, and that is there was the beginning of the obligation or the previous obligation, and now there's the passing of the baton, the transition, right, to someone else. So does Tchilas HaChiyuv or Hachiyuv Ba'avar, does that Koveya? Or only in the present? Now already, we can appreciate that the Gemara thought, before it comes up, you know, with its answer, the Gemara said, Toshma, if we're really interested in figuring out whether or not Bedikas Chametz, as a Chovos HaBayis, is on the person who owns the Chametz, because vis-a-vis issues having to do with ridding yourself of the chametz, he's the Baal HaBayis. Or the present door in the bayis, if that isn't a specific Bedikas Chametz question, maybe it's a, how do you kind of parse, how do you divide, right, different aspects of home ownership, especially when there's also a transition involved. Says the Gemara, we can bring a raya, maybe from the case of Mezuzah. Then the Gemara says, no. Mezuzah has nothing to do with the Chovos HaBayis, or shouldn't say nothing. Of course, it's what's the raisa, what's the rabbanon, how do you understand it? But put it this way. In Mezuzah, the issue is defined or decided by the door, by the person who's living there. And consequently, it's not a good paradigm for Bedikas Chametz. Okay, before I go back and look at some, how this may play out for Rashi and Tosas, are there any questions?
Harav.
Yeah.
Considering the complexities of what Sechiras is, why couldn't the Gemara come to just an easier question? Someone is actually a Mocher and someone is a Kohen.
You would also have a question of, I don't know why the Gemara didn't.
That would be black and white, much more than what Sechiras is, because you know what Mechira, because we discussed before a title, a Mechira, we know what Mechira is and we know what it.
Well, no. Let me say it this way. I think the answer, if your question is, why didn't the Gemara address this question? I don't have an answer for that, except I will tell you that some of the poskim address it, particularly the a little bit the Chok Yaakov, but especially the Mekor Chaim. In his Perush on Shulchan Aruch, he discusses Mocher v'Lokeach. We'll discuss it a little more, especially on the Maskan of the Gemara.
He addressed the same question. Same question.
Yeah. The reason I think the Gemara didn't discuss it originally is because you don't have the same complexity. Because I think part of the Gemara's original suffix, according to what I'm suggesting, is the Gemara wants to know in a Chovas Habayis where there's a transition, right, and where there is a competition, what's the din? In Mocher v'Lokeach, it's a Chovas Habayis where there's a transition, but there's no competition. Once the Mocher, right, gives title to the Lokeach is the absolute owner. The Mocher is a has-been. That's the difference. Now, there's still an interesting question, especially if it's a question on the Sirsum of Tech, perhaps, but it's a different equation now. Like, you could never bring a raya, even before you say Chovas Hadar, from mezuzah, to this question if it was Mocher v'Lokeach. So that's why I think the Gemara didn't have that case. Or that's why this Shakla V'Tarya is not about Mocher v'Lokeach. Had we held that Sechiras, Kanya, Legamri, then you're right. Then why not just take a case of Mocher v'Lokeach? But if the complexity of Mocher, of Socher Maskir itself is a suffix of the Gemara, then of course you can't substitute for Mocher v'Lokeach. Right? Okay, any other question?
Yes, isn't there a practical problem if the Maskir has surrendered possession to the Socher, how is he supposed to do Bedika?
That is the next issue in the Gemara. First of all, I haven't heard your voice in a long time. It's good to hear your voice again.
I haven't lost it.
Good. You're better than I am. Okay. The practical problem is an issue that Tosas joins in the Maskana. So let me just read the Maskana of the Gemara for a moment and just relate to that. But it doesn't have anything to do with what we discussed so far. It's more of like, how are you going to do Bedikas Chametz if you're not on the property, right?
Well, I think it's actually connected, because if you look at Mechira, this goes back to the question whether or not it pertains to Mechira. But to renting. But if you look at renting as surrendering, as surrendering possession, in other words, that's one of the elements of ownership. And if you look at renting as surrendering one element of ownership, then you have divested yourself of the right, of the conceptual right, to enter this man's premises.
No, that's not, for sure.
And it's not just a practical problem. It's really a conceptual problem that you don't have the right. Ownership is a bundle of rights. You no longer have the right to do the bedika. If you don't have the possessory right, then you don't have the right to do. It's one of the incidents of possession, is what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying.
is one of the incidents of possession. So you've given that up.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get the facts down for the Maskana of the Gemara for a moment first, and you'll see that it's a little bit tricky. Because again, the question is really who's responsible, and there might be a financial element in terms of paying for it as well. So it isn't only a question of actually going there. But let me just talk about the Maskana for a minute, and then we'll get back to your concern. So what is the Maskana of the Gemara? So, you know, complicated question, complicated answer, although it didn't have to be. But the Gemara says it depends when the Mesiras HaMafteach takes place. Okay? So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Tnina, Hamaskir Bais L'Chaveiro, Im Ad Shelo Masal HaMafteach Tzchol Arba Asar, Alamaskir Livdo. Right, if the maskir in the beginning of the period of Bedikas Chametz, you know, was still holding on to the keys, it's his responsibility. So that's a kind of an interesting compromise. The question is, what does it mean? So I'll just give you three scenarios right off the bat, and we'll discuss them. We're not going to have time this week. Oh, our time is up. I didn't even get to Rashi and Tosis, but okay, we'll hopefully move quicker next week. Let me tell you the three scenarios of Maskana of the Gemara. The first one, of course, is Rashi. Rashi says, we'll read it inside next week, that Mesiras HaMafteach is a kinyan. Okay, if Mesiras HaMafteach is a kinyan, then it's not such a complicated answer. What we're saying is, you know, If it depends on Tchilas Yudalid and who was the Kone who had the Kinyan, Tchilas Yudalid. Meaning, the fact that it depends on Tchila is not unreasonable. That's the onset of the Chiyuv, so it's frozen there. The fact that Mesiras HaMafteach, if it's Kinyan, is Koveya, makes sense. The problem is that, and this is something we have to discuss, the Gemaras in Bava Kama and Bava Basra seem to indicate that Mesiras HaMafteach is not typically a Kinyan Chazaka. That's what Tosis points out, that it seems like Mesiras HaMafteach doesn't do anything or doesn't do enough. So Tosis says, really, Mesiras HaMafteach is pragmatic, kind of a little bit like what you were saying, right? You're from the pragmatic school, as we know. So, but Tosis means it exclusively pragmatic. Meaning, even if the Socher didn't make a Kinyan on the Kinyan Schirus yet, if he has the key, right, he's still going to be responsible, which kind of neutralizes some of your argument about having given up, you know, that right, because he didn't legally do that yet. He handed over the keys. So Tosis is suggesting that being pragmatically the one who's capable of doing, you know, the bedika, that in and of itself is mechayev the bedika. That's mechudash. The Ran, this is the third scenario, says the parallel opposite. Ron says, we're talking about a situation, again, like Tosis, Mesiras HaMafteach is not a Kinyan. However, even if you made the Kinyan, without Mesiras HaMafteach, you can't be obligated. So if the Maskir is holding on to the keys, even though the Socher already made the Kinyan, it's Al HaMaskir Livdok, even though he's not the owner. Because he still has the means to enter the property. Even though, or he's holding on or holding back the means for the socher. So basically there are three basic shitas. Rashi says Mesiras HaMafteach is Kinyan. Tosa says Mesiras HaMafteach is purely pragmatic, but that's what determines the chiyuv bedika. And the Ran says, basically, if you're the maskir, then it depends on the mahu. If you're holding the key and you're the maskir, even if the kinyan took place, then you're chayiv. But if you're the socher and you're holding mafteach and you didn't yet make the kinyan, then you're potter. So I'll discuss that, and especially in light of your idea as well. So next week we'll pick up on, I want to see how Rashi, Tosis, Maram Chalava, Meiri, how they read the first part of the Gemara. I want to discuss a little more about the Masker and the Socher, and then talk about Mesiras HaMafteach. Hopefully we'll finish all this next week, and then we can go on to the next Gemara after that.